Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, I'm looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are locked into WKAR's Current Sports. Coming to you on this Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay. You have made it. The weekend is here. I know it's been a long week, folks. I know it has. No matter what you've been going through this week, we hope that we can brighten your day, at least every time you tune in at 1 p.m. here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. And we plan on ushering you into the weekend with a great hour of sports talk. A lot to get to. You guys know Fridays and Mondays are probably the busiest 2 days of current sports because on Monday you're trying to recap everything that happened in the local sports world and beyond in just 60 minutes. And on Friday you're trying to preview everything that's going to happen in the local sports world and beyond. So we got a lot to get to. Our plate runneth over for sure. We'll talk Michigan State and Central Michigan football. We'll dive into Michigan and Northwestern football as well. We will welcome to the show James Moore, former Michigan State fullback great, as he brings to you a segment entitled The Swap Meet with James Moore at the end of each and every week here on Current Sports. The Swap Meet, those letters standing for Speaking with a Purpose, a playoff of James's philanthropic campaign where he is influencing the lives of young men and women from around the Lansing area. Great stuff, as James is going to bring us yet another inspirational message. Again, no matter what you're going through throughout the week, we hope that we can brighten that week a little bit with that segment as James provides some inspiration and also will give us an update on his stint, of course, with the DeWitt High School football team under Rob Zimmerman. James is an assistant coach for the DeWitt Panthers, and DeWitt is having an awesome high school football year thus far. So we'll talk some high school football as well as dive into some words of encouragement with James Moore. And then on the back end of the show, we will have weekend. We'll have Reflection Friday for you. I don't know why I said weekend winners in my rundown here. We'll have Reflection Friday for you where we look at the week that has been here on Current Sports and bring you some of our favorite moments and maybe bring up a few stories that we have not gotten the chance to talk about. All right. And before I push forward, how about the Ryder Cup taking place out in Paris? You know, my plan was to wake up. And I actually did this. I set an alarm for around 2:50 a.m. to wake up and watch Tiger Woods tee off. And I was going to stay up as long as I could this morning. But I tell you what, when my head hit the pillow after watching that L.A. Rams and Minnesota Vikings game last night, I was out cold. My phone went off. And you guys know how you do it, right? I mean, your phone goes off of that alarm. And you're sitting there saying, oh, just give me five more minutes. And you hit the snooze button, and I hit the snooze button like 10 times. And next thing you know, it's like 7 a.m., and I totally missed the entire round of Tiger Woods. But it turns out that I didn't miss much when it comes to day one of the Ryder Cup for the United States, because Europe actually swept the U.S. today 4-0. A 4-0 sweep, marking Europe's first session sweep since 1989. Are you kidding me? And it made the day one final tally 5-3 for the Europeans. It's still a long way to go. I mean, again, we're just talking about the first session here, the morning session. We'll see what happens in the afternoon, but that's not the kind of start that you want. Okay, so we'll see what happens here. Let's see if the United States can fight back in this one. And I'll have more thoughts on the Ryder Cup later on this hour. But a lot to get to as we'll talk some college football. We'll also take a wider look at the college football picture as it pertains to the Big Ten and bring up a few national games to watch for on Saturday as well. And don't forget about the Lions. The Lions will be taking on my Dallas Cowboys on Sunday at AT&T Stadium. That's usually a game where I just watch it and just sit on my hands. Really no cheering there because I'm from Detroit, and I feel like even though this is a bad franchise, I feel obligated to pull for the Honolulu Blue, especially when you look at the horrid history that this franchise has had in the win column, or lack thereof. And then, you know, I grew up as a Cowboys fan because of my dad. So whatever happens in that game, I am A-okay with it. We'll preview that matchup as well. We'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News to check out the live stream. And you can tweet us. Two ways to do so. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. Right, and we start with the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame induction ceremony, which took place last night at the Wharton Center, honoring its past and present with the 9th annual MSU Hall of Fame and Varsity Letter Jacket Ceremony. The 2018 Hall of Fame class includes Dale Anderson, wrestling, Savithia Koch in track and field, and as well as Rachel Miller in rowing, Jimmy Ray, of course, as we've been profiling throughout this week here in the sport of college football, being the first African-American quarterback from the South for Michigan State football's football program, and also Bill Weirwein of track and field. And the 2018 Hall of Fame inductees will also be recognized tomorrow during halftime of the Michigan State and Central Michigan football game. That will be a noon kickoff. More on that in just a moment. Just a few games I want to note here when it comes to week 6 of high school football action. Can you believe that? East Lansing at Holt, Waverly at Okemos, St. John's at Hazlitt, Williamson at Lansing Eastern, Fowlerville at Mason, Lansing Sexton at Ionia, Charlotte at Lansing Catholic, and Birmingham Brother Rice at Grand Ledge. Again, that's just a small taste of tonight's high school football action. Most of those games, of course, kicking off around 7 p.m. Get this. Trevor Manuel, of course, he will be competing as a senior this season for Olivet College, and he's been an aggressive marketing tool for the men's basketball program. Billboards of Manuel palming two basketballs, stretching his arms out while wearing a red Olivet jersey, can be found on northbound and southbound Interstate 69. How cool is this? Now, Manuel, he was a highly touted basketball recruit coming out of high school with NBA potential. He played for Lansing Sexton and Lansing Everett High School. He also had a brief stint at Oak Hill Prep in Virginia. His college career began at the University of Oregon before he transferred midseason to Loyola Marymount. And after a full season with Loyola Marymount, he again transferred to Olivet College, where he unexpectedly had to sit out due to not having enough of his credits to transfer. His senior season is highly anticipated within the community, and the team's first game will be October 27th, 5 p.m. at Lake Superior State. As you guys know, we have had his father on the show many times, James Manuel, who is now the founder of the Lansing Legends ABA basketball team. And, you know, those who have tuned in throughout the summer know we had James on about, I want to say, two or three times. And he gave an update on Trevor, saying that Trevor is ready to impress this senior year. He is focused and his game is better than ever. So we'll see what Trevor Manuel does. Let's see if he can live up to the big billboards, right? All right. Hannah Spitzley is Pomona Westphalia's first Division I women's basketball recruit since 2002. Spitzley decided to verbally commit on Twitter yesterday to further her academic and athletic career with the Broncos at Western Michigan University. The junior guard caught the eye of other college coaches from D1 programs like Toledo, Bowling Green, as well as Central Michigan. The last D1 basketball recruit from P-Dub before Spitzley was Andrea Thalen, who also committed to Western. Two female student athletes filed a lawsuit against Eastern Michigan University after they decided to cut four of their sports in an ongoing effort to trim the budget. Yesterday, a federal court granted a preliminary injunction to stop Eastern Michigan from cutting women's softball and tennis in violation of Title IX. Now, Title IX requires opportunities for male and female athletes to match student body demographics, and female students made up 59.4% of the EMU student population, while female student athletes only make up 43.9% of the athletic department. The other two sports that EMU will be cutting are men's swimming and wrestling, bringing the total number of sports in the athletic department from 21 to 19. Number 21, Michigan State football returns home to Spartan Stadium tomorrow afternoon as they welcome the Central Michigan Chippewas for MSU's final non-conference game of the regular season. CMU is 1-3 this year after a win last week against Maine and a loss at home to Kansas 2 weeks ago. LJ Scott's status for tomorrow's game is still a bit unclear, and guard Kevin Jarvis was spotted wearing a walking boot at yesterday's Hall of Fame ceremony. The Spartans are 28.5-point favorites. Kickoff scheduled for noon. You can catch that game on Fox Sports 1, and more on that game in just a moment here on Current Sports. The University of Michigan college football team travels to Evanston, Illinois tomorrow afternoon as they prepare to face Pat Fitzgerald and the Northwestern Wildcats. After three solid wins, Michigan is back up to number 14 in the AP poll, but they'll kick off Big Ten play with two straight conference wins against an underwhelming Northwestern squad. The Wildcats are 1-2, coming off a bye after losing to Akron back on September 15th. They actually held a 21-3 lead in that game, too. Kickoff tomorrow is scheduled for 4:30 p.m., and that game can be viewed on Fox. Just real quick, we have Connor Mathis behind the glass right now. Connor, when you look at both these games for Michigan and Michigan State, do you think either one of these games will be close at all?
Not really. I mean, there's always a chance that maybe Northwestern finds some magic and can keep it close or force overtime, but I don't see either of these teams like really competing with Michigan or Michigan State.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I don't think it'll be close either. Okay. All right. Now, when it comes to other athletic events happening in the world of Michigan State, I want to mention Michigan State field hockey, as there are plenty of sports going on in East Lansing tonight, actually. MSU field hockey will continue their tough schedule with a matchup with number 13 Iowa today at Ralph Young Stadium. MSU is currently 4-7, but has played one of the toughest schedules in the nation. MSU volleyball also in action as they match up with the team that knocked them out of last season's NC2A tourney in number 9 Penn State. After two losses, head coach Kathy George will have a tough task on her hands as the Spartans will play Penn State at 7 p.m. tonight and then Rutgers tomorrow also at 7 p.m. Tickets at Jennison Fieldhouse are available for both matches, and tonight's match can be found on the Big Ten Network. Also, both MSU men's and women's soccer are playing this weekend as the men take on Wisconsin on Sunday afternoon.
That match at DeMartin Stadium kicks off at 2 p.m. You can watch that one on the Big Ten Network. The women's team travels to Illinois on Saturday. Tomorrow, they play at 7 p.m. That match can be seen on BTN Plus. And after a crucial home win against the New England Patriots, the 1-2 Detroit Lions face another big matchup. This time on the road in Dallas, the Cowboys are 1-2 after a home loss to Seattle last week. Their lone win came in week two against the lowly New York Giants. Dallas are 3-point favorites. And that matchup will be seen on Fox. And last but certainly least, the Detroit Tigers. The MLB regular season is nearly over, and Detroit is playing like it wants to get to the golf course early, without a doubt. The Tigers lost 9-3 to Minnesota last night in their final AL Central game of 2018. Francisco Laureano left the game in the third, and the Twins took advantage. Kristen Stewart had another three-hit game, but he was the only Tiger with multiple hits. Detroit heads to Milwaukee this weekend as the Brewers look to contest the NL Central race with the Chicago Cubs. The Brewers are one game back with three games left. Jay-Z makes the start for the Tigers, Jordan Zimmerman, tonight at 8:10 p.m. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. I want to get your thoughts on tomorrow afternoon's Michigan State football matchup against Central Michigan University. Do you think this will be a blowout? Which players are you pegging to have a big game? Or which players are you pegging to must have a big game in this one? Who needs to just build some confidence in this game against Central Michigan University? And also, what are your thoughts on the Michigan football team as the Wolverines will hit the road to take on Northwestern tomorrow? I want to hear your thoughts on college football. 517-355 WKAR 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, some of you are already weighing in on social media at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin. WKAR.
Jaguar skills.
Happy Friday, everyone. Yes, the end of the week is here. I know you've had a long week and you are ready to max tax and relax, watch a ton of sports over the weekend. I mean, you got the Ryder Cup going on. You got a full plate of college football going on where you have the two biggest college football programs in the state of Michigan ready to play. As the college football year rolls along, Michigan will take on Northwestern on the road, and your Michigan State Spartans will play host to Central Michigan. And then you got the Detroit Lions in action on Sunday, along with a full plate of NFL football. Should be a good weekend, right? A weekend for you to just sit on the sofa and just enjoy a ton of sports action. And today is just a busy, busy day when it comes to just sports news in general. I want to acknowledge this because I was really looking forward to seeing Shaq's son, Sharif O'Neal, play Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team in late November. I believe November 22nd is when Michigan State takes on UCLA in Las Vegas. But news broke this morning coming from Myron Metcalf of ESPN that Sharif O'Neal, the son of Shaq Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal, and a four-star recruit at UCLA, Sharif is going to miss the entire 2018-19 season after doctors discovered a heart ailment that will require surgery. O'Neal told TMZ Sports that he felt funny during team workouts this summer. So actually, UCLA doctors made him wear like a heart monitor so he could push a button whenever he wanted to alert them of a problem or a suspected problem. Now, he said he pressed the button during one of the summer practices, and doctors later discovered the heart ailment that will force him to miss the entire upcoming year. So, yeah, a bit of luster gone now from that Michigan State and UCLA game. But at the end of the day, health is wealth. Health comes first. And I'm glad that they caught this early for Shareef O'Neal. That's something I was talking to my stepdad about this morning. He's like, look, I'm glad they caught this early because you've heard stories like this, you know, players who play through pain and don't get checked out and have a heart problem or a serious problem like that end up passing out on the basketball court. So I'm glad they caught this. And Shareef, get better, my man. All right. And some sad news when it comes to LSU basketball. LSU basketball player Wade Sims was killed in a shooting near the Southern University campus early this morning. It's according to Baton Rouge, Louisiana police. Sims is a 20-year-old junior from Baton Rouge. He was shot during an altercation outside a Subway restaurant across from Southern's football stadium. Happened around 1:25 this morning. A video obtained by WBRZ shows several men fighting in the street outside this Subway restaurant. A gunshot can be heard, and then you see Sims falling to the ground before the remaining men run from the scene. He was transported to a local hospital where he passed away from a gunshot wound. This is coming from LSU basketball coach Will Wade, saying this in a statement, quote, "We are all devastated. We need your prayers for Wade, for his family, for all of us. We are heartbroken." Just sad stuff. I just don't understand situations like this sometimes. I mean, especially our young people are so quick to pull out a firearm, are so quick to pull out a gun and use it in any kind of altercation. And it's so unfortunate when you read a story like this or hear a story like this. So thoughts and prayers out to the family and friends of Wade Sims. That's heavy stuff. Okay. Now to less important matters. Let's talk some college football. Michigan State and Central Michigan will kick off at noon tomorrow. This is a game that many, including myself, do not expect to be close. This should be a blowout. This should be an ideal game for Michigan State football. And the criticism that this program has gotten in these last few weeks, sure, yeah, Michigan State did beat Indiana on Saturday night on the road, but it wasn't a pretty win. Now, at the end of the day, a win is a win. Michigan State won the game to move to 2-1. But looking at the details of that game, and I've now watched it, well, not the entire game, but I've watched quarters of that game, you know, at least 2 to 3 times now. Watched a bit of it this morning. And you look at that matchup, and you look at especially some of the turnovers that Michigan State had, you know, Brian Lewerke, who I think is uber talented, one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten Conference. And I think it's safe to say now that we can probably throw out that conversation that we had prior to the start of the year that Brian Lewerke would be a Heisman Trophy candidate. That's a prediction I made. Connor, I think it's safe to say that he's not in that running anymore. Can we say that, or is it too? Am I too early in saying that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, for him to get back in the conversation, I mean, we have Tua out of Alabama. We have Kyler Murray, who they've both just been tearing it up from the quarterback perspective. Mm. I mean, he would have to, in the net, just for the rest of the season, just like 400, 500 yard games.
Yeah.
touchdowns and like two interceptions over that period. I don't think he can catch up to where Tua is playing at. Where
Tua is playing crazy.
He's amazing.
Tua Tagovailoa. Wow.
And Kyler Murray just kind of like dismissing any and all fears that Oklahoma would take a step back after Baker left. I mean, right. Those are the top two quarterbacks, and then of course you're gonna throw in your running backs and stuff. I don't think he's gonna get in unless he just turns something on.
No, I hear you. I think when you look at how Brian Lewerke has played so far this season, I mean we're talking about 814 yards, 5 touchdowns, but 4 interceptions. And you know, going back and watching that Indiana game, and you know, you look at that mindless interception that he threw to his right. You know, deep in Indiana territory. Then you look at the fumble that he had trying to pitch it back. He's not been the most accurate quarterback at times. I just don't think we can put Brian Lewerke in that conversation now. Now, again, if he is to get back into that conversation, like you just said, Connor, he is going to have lights out numbers. He's going to have like video game type numbers, and I just don't see that happening. When it comes to Michigan State in this game, though, I mean, you look at Central Michigan, let's keep it all the way 100, man. Central Michigan is not a good team. This is not a good football team. 1-3, and you look at the numbers for Central. Just inconsistency. You know, I went back and watched some of the highlights from, you know, the past few weeks in the early stages of CMU's football season. And, you know, CMU has managed a season low, 177 yards of total offense against Maine in that win over Maine, 17-5 win over Maine. And, you know, last Saturday, 95 rushing yards, 82 passing yards, season lows. The Chips rank 127th out of 129 FBS teams in scoring, averaging only 15 points per game. That's not good. 127th? There's only two teams worse than you in that category. Also, it gets worse. It does get worse. 128th in total offense. They average 258.5 yards per game. So you look at those stats, Connor, 127th out of 129 FBS teams in scoring, 128th in total offense. And you look at the Spartans, Michigan State has the number one run defense in the nation, only allowing 32.7 yards per game on the ground. You look at guys like Kenny Willekes and linebacker Joe Bocci. I mean, that defensive line has been playing great for Michigan State. That has been like the bright spot this season so far for Michigan State's football team. I mean, that defense and stopping the run game, it's become an identity for this squad. So, Michigan State, however, ranks 123rd in pass defense. So if CMU has any hope when they have the ball offensively, test that secondary of the Spartans. Test it. And when you look at the film for Michigan State, again, no surprise what that MSU defense is doing. They're trying not to get beat deep. And they're allowing these small dump-offs, these small throws in the flat and these five-yard dump-offs to hurt them. That's what's really hurt Michigan State defensively. You know, again, they're stopping the run, but what has allowed offenses to have some success against the Spartans are those small little dump-offs that lead to big yards, big chunks of yards. They have issues covering the underneath routes, and we saw that again against Indiana. Now, the Spartans playing CMU. Again, I just gave you the numbers. I mean, CMU is not a great team. I think this is the ideal game. And again, we don't know. We played Mark D'Antonio's press conference on Tuesday, and D'Antonio was asked about L.J. Scott and whether or not L.J. Scott is healthy enough to play. And again, we all know that Mark D'Antonio does not like to talk about injuries. When he was asked a question about LJ Scott and whether or not LJ Scott would be playing this Saturday, he beat around the bush and said, well, I expect him to play today, as in practice. You know, maybe or maybe not. You know, I don't know. We'll see. Basically, he beat around the bush, didn't give a hard definitive answer when it comes to LJ this Saturday. Frankly, I don't think if LJ isn't 100%, you don't need LJ Scott to beat Central Michigan. You can throw in Connor Hayward. You can throw in Ladarius Jefferson and let them do work. Actually, Hayward and Jefferson combined for what, 57 yards in last week's 35-21 win at Indiana. Not great. Not great. Not great. That run game has to get going here. I think this is a game, again, that can build some confidence for that rush attack. And when it comes to Brian Lewerke, I mean, Brian Lewerke, criticism of what I just stated aside, when it comes to his decision-making, I think part of that has to do with that offensive line. It's plug and play right now. That offensive line has gone through a lot of changes due to injuries, and that hasn't helped Brian in those spur-of-the-moment decisions, because I think Brian Lewerke has gotten caught up in just doing too much at times. Oh, that rushing attack is coming. Okay, I'm going to try to make something happen here. Let me just throw right there. Doesn't see the defender, picked off. Or, let me try a pitch here. Doesn't work. He's just gotten caught up in doing too much. Sometimes, Brian, you got to just throw the ball away or take the L and take the sack. All right? But he's had success throwing to, you know, that fantastic wide receiving core. And Cody White, Felton Davis III. Daryl Stewart as well. You know, you look at White and Davis combined for 31 catches, 472 yards, 3 touchdowns. Now, I didn't know this, though, when doing some further research. CMU's defense has had some positive spots here and there. Ranking 5th in the FBS in passing defense at 140 yards allowed per game. 36 in total defense at 334.2 yards per game. Did not know that. They picked off 5 passes this season. Now, I'm not bringing up that stat and saying that Brian Lewerke should be shaking in his boots. It's still Central Michigan University, okay? But I'm looking for some improvement when it comes to decision-making for Brian Lewerke. I want to see some improvement in that run game. I want to see some consistency and push from that offensive line. And this is a game, this is a confidence-building game. I think, honestly, this game should be over at halftime, Connor. I think we should probably see some backups come in the second half. Now, with that being said, we all know, we covered this earlier this season, that game against Utah State to open the season, Michigan State just does not cover the spread. Right now, I'm seeing that Michigan State is a 28.5-point favorite against CMU. Even though I'm saying all of this, that Michigan State should just totally blow out CMU, Michigan State usually doesn't cover the spread. I would stay away from that. I would stay away from that. But we'll see. I think this game is going to be a 21-point win for the Spartans. What say you, Connor?
I'd agree with that. 21 points seems about right, maybe 24. You know, Brian.
And even with that, they wouldn't cover the spread.
I still don't take the Spartans when you're trying to get the spread. I mean, it's just going to end poorly one way or another. Kind of looking through Central Michigan, I mean, you brought up their pass defense, but it looks like a lot of it has been, you know, garbage time almost. One thing though that is standing out in all the and almost all of the ones I'm looking at is they've given up 100 yards over 100 yards rushing every time,
right? Like, I'm telling you, that running back core should be salivating right now.
I just looked at the game against Kentucky, and they had the Kentucky had 125 yard rusher and 104 yard rusher, and then a 38 and a 32 yard rusher. I mean, that this should be a real confidence builder for this entire team. I mean, the secondary has been a little bit rough. I think they kind of just need that confidence boost of, like, you know, breaking up some more passes, forcing some more turnovers and things like that. But I just want to say, people who are even slightly worried about Central Michigan, they got blown out by Kansas, and Kansas is awful.
Kansas is bad. Really, really, really bad. And I'm actually seeing now that line has actually moved to 29 and a half for Michigan State. So
maybe up to like 27 points, then they win by, I don't know. Yeah. Just don't take the line with the Spartans.
No, 29, almost 30 points. This would be a 30-point blowout. That's what people are saying. I think Michigan State needs a game like that. And you know, Mark D'Antonio historically just never blows out people. You know, he doesn't believe in running up the score. But sometimes I think now in this college football playoff age that we live in, run up the score. I mean, we saw Michigan just completely give it to Nebraska this past weekend against Nebraska. And that was like 56-10 was the final in that game.
Yeah,
I have no
brutal.
Problem. If you're a bad football team, you're a bad football team. Run up the score. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I kind of have the philosophy of what? Who is that? Jimmy Johnson used to coach the U back in the day. And I remember that the U documentary, that 30 for 30, where he's like, look, man, yeah, we're blowing teams out. Stop me. You know, if you don't like it, stop me. So we'll see what happens though on Saturday. But I do think this will be a 20-plus point win. I'm going 21-point win for the Spartans. Looking here on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, James says that he thinks Michigan State is only going to lose one more game this season. And he thinks that's going to be against Penn State. I think James is speaking more so with his heart and not his head there, because there's a team on that schedule by the name of Ohio State that may have something to say about that. That's very ambitious. And also, Ben has given a prediction on our Facebook page as well. If I can bring it up, I don't see it. I just lost it. Okay, I'll get to Ben's prediction on the other side of this first break. But James saying only one more loss for Michigan State? I don't know about that one, James. What do you think about that, Connor?
You know, if he would have said one more loss and he would have said, you know, Ohio State, I would have been like, all right, you know, maybe that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But if Michigan State loses to Penn State, I don't see them beating Ohio State. Like,
right, exactly.
I mean, we could be proven wrong this weekend. I mean, Ohio State is taking on Penn State. Maybe Penn State unlock something that everyone else has been missing about Ohio State and just turns it on to another level. But if Michigan State loses to Penn State, then I don't think they're going to beat Ohio State.
Preach on. I'm with you on that. And in that prediction for Ben says that Michigan State will win 35-10 tomorrow. I could see that. 35-10. I think that's a realistic outcome for Michigan State tomorrow. All right, what do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. When we come back, we will have James Moore with the swap meet on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Shout out to the Current Sports production team. The Carter Five dropped last night. Lil Wayne, one of the greatest hip-hop artists of all time, dropped his new album. I am told it's pretty good. I listened to the first half last night. Second half this morning. We have Denise Spann, Current Sports PA behind the glass, saying it's good. I like what I heard. He's got a track with XXXTentacion. Rest in peace. That's a good track. I like that track. Also, Mona Lisa with Kendrick Lamar, my favorite artist in the game right now. That's hot as well. He's got a track with Nicki Minaj. Snoop Dogg. Snoop D-O-double-G is on the album, too. I like what I've heard from the album. Before I give hard thoughts, I like to listen to the album, you know, twice or at least three times before I give a hard count on what I think of it. But I like what I've heard so far. Lil Wayne is back. It's good to have him back in the game, Connor.
Yeah. I've only listened to about the first half. I liked most of the songs I heard.
Yeah.
the Mona Lisa with Kendrick and Lil Wayne is great. I saw a picture on Twitter today. It's a picture of Dwayne Wade throwing up the lob to LeBron, where he's standing here like this, and LeBron dunking it, and it was Lil Wayne's face on Dwayne Wade and Kendrick's on LeBron. It was pretty funny.
I like that. Okay, yeah. So shout out to Lil Wayne. Also, I saw that Logic dropped an album this week as well. I got to check out that. And I'm like on my fifth listen of Lupe Fiasco's Droga's Wave. I think I'm big into deep, thought-provoking hip-hop, and Lupe epitomizes that. Used to be my favorite hip-hop artist back in the day. And Droga's Wave, I'm impressed more and more with each and every listen of that album. It's a concept album that is about a group of slaves who sink a slave ship, and instead of drowning, they survive and live at the bottom of the sea. Talk about deep. All right, so that is not for you mumble rap fans out there and those who just like to turn up. That is thought-provoking hip-hop. Shout out to Lupe. All right, we need more music like that. Okay. All right, I'm done with the music session. All right, I feel like I can do a hip-hop podcast every day too, Connor. All right, right now I want to go to our phone lines because we have one of our dear friends who joins us every week here on the show near the end of the week with a segment entitled The Swap Meet. He is the founder of Swap, which is Speaking with a Purpose. That campaign is just been awesome, and it's been a pleasure watching it evolve over these last few years since it was founded by James Moore, MSU fullback, great 1988 Rose Bowl champion, as James now brings us to Swap Meet as he speaks some positivity into all of our listeners' lives, and including myself, and gives us an update on what he's been up to. James, how you doing, my man?
Hey, Al, how you doing, buddy? I am doing fantastic, brother.
Always good hearing from you. And I first want to start with high school football because, you know, you are an assistant coach under Rob Zimmerman for the DeWitt Panthers, and you guys are just rolling right now. I mean, you sit at 5-0. This is your first year in the CAAC blue. You're coming off a 36-0 shutout dub of East Lansing High School last week, just spoiling the Trojans' homecoming. I mean, you guys are rolling right now. It's got to feel good, right?
You know what? It feels good. And one thing that Coach Zim and the coaching staff and we preach to our kids is one game at a time. Just go out, do your job, and everything will fall into place. And right now, things seem to be going very well for us.
What's the formula out there? I mean, when you go out there every single Friday and throughout the week, when you watch Rob Zimmerman prep, and of course you're right there helping out with the prep as well and teaching these young men how to play the game of football through your eyes. I mean, what makes DeWitt football special in your eyes, James?
In my eyes, it's the consistency, okay? And that's one thing that you have to have when you have a program, and that's one thing that Rob has done is been consistent. And just staying true to the game and teaching the kids. And it starts with the Junior Panthers, you know, and just building upward and just continuing it. And it's just the consistency that he has instilled in the program out there.
Yeah, it's certainly a machine. I mean, you guys take the players from the Junior Panthers. I mean, you groom them at that level. So by the time they're ready to play varsity football for your program, I mean, they're ready, you know, they're not shell-shocked, and they are uber-prepared, right?
Yeah. I mean, and they do the same thing that, you know, the lower levels do the same thing that the varsity do, but not with the intensity and not with the I'm trying to figure out the word for that, not with I'm a brain lock for the word that I'm trying to get at.
I hear you, though. I hear you.
It's just we do it at a lower level. And give the kids enough where they're not overwhelmed
right
with the offense, because that's the key, because you can get overwhelmed. If you're not in this program on a regular basis from the Junior Panthers and up, you come to the program as a junior or a sophomore, it's hard to learn because it's in depth, it's detailed, and that's what Rob is all about.
Definitely. And you guys will be playing Lansing Everett, the Vikings, tonight. And Lansing Everett, just a tough start to the year. They're right now 2-3 on the season. They got shut out last week by Holt. The week prior to that, they were beaten by Okemos. That was a 28 8-8 final. Last week it was a 41-0 final. You all are highly favored in this game. So with that being said, James, I mean, you expect to win. I expect this to be pretty lopsided. So with that being said, I mean, how do you prepare for a game in which, you know, the pendulum has shifted and is shifted so highly in your favor?
It's just one game at a time. It's another game, okay? We have to go out, execute, and improve. And it's not about who you're playing. It's about us going out and executing, doing what the coaching staff has giving them to do, and they go out and do it. Because that's the one unique thing about football, okay? Basketball, one guy can take it over and win a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Football, all 11, you have 11 different assignments, and everybody has to do their assignment. You know, we're just trying to improve and get better and better every week, regardless of who we're playing. We don't underestimate nobody. We're going into it with the same mind frame that we got to go out here and execute and do what we have practiced and been doing all week.
I love
and
that.
And to get better.
You sound like Mark D'Antonio right now, James. I tell you, we can tell you you come from the Michigan State football program without a doubt. And that's the message. I mean, every one game at a time, and we'll see where you guys are at come Thanksgiving. Yep. When you all, I think you all will be competing for a state championship. So we'll see. Again, one game at a time, though, James. And I'm seeing here Ben says DeWitt will crush Everett tonight. So we'll see, yeah. Ben.
We'll see.
All right. Well James, to end this segment, we love to have you speak some words of encouragement, you know, and speak from the heart. Because that's what this segment is all about, you know, breeding some positivity in our listeners' lives and maybe inspiring our listeners out there. And you know what? I also began the show by addressing the breaking news that I saw this morning concerning LSU basketball player Wade Sims, who was killed in a shooting near the Southern University campus on Friday morning. So this morning, around like 1:25 a.m., a video was released by WRZ in which Sims was involved in an altercation with a group of men outside a Subway restaurant near the campus, near the football stadium, actually. And the video shows the men fighting outside the restaurant. Then the gunshot can be heard. Then you see Sims falling to the ground. And then the men running from the scene. I mean, it's just so devastating to see this happened, right?
Sad. It's sad. It's just sad. You know, I read about that too this morning, and it was just, you know, it's just appalling, and my heart just goes out to the family, and it's just ridiculous at what society is coming to nowadays, you know?
It really is. And, you know, one of the points I've made is it's so mind-boggling. And again, you work with kids in school, James. The amount of school shootings that we're seeing as well, that have seemed to just grow and grow by the year. Yep. I can't feel confident now that our schools are 100% safe based on what I'm seeing happen nationally. You know, it really is unnerving. So with that being said, I mean, no matter what our listeners may be going through, and then hearing a story like this morning, any words of positivity that you can breathe into the lives of our listeners right now?
I have something that's been on my heart. You know, with our game last week against East Lansing, you know, we had a young man, my running back, David Loker. You know, he went down. He had, in the best of his knee. You know, he had meniscus surgery on Monday. One thing I want to let all listeners, athletes, kids, when you play football, when you do sports, there's always a possibility of getting hurt. One thing that I have to say is he'll come back stronger and better. And that's not just in sports. That's in life. You know, you're going to have adversities come to you. You're going to have trials and tribulations come to you. The key is how you're going to respond to it. And I bring up David Loker's name because he is a great kid, great athlete, great student, great individual, okay?
Mm.
And he has a great head on his shoulders. And I'm giving a shout-out to him because he's going to be back for the playoffs. And he's going to come back stronger, faster, ready to roll, and hungry. I sat with this kid on the bench last week, and I looked in his eyes, and it was just like, man, I'm ready to get back. I want to play. I want to be out there for my team. It's not out there. Not that he wants to be out there for him. He says, I want to be out there for my team. Mm-hmm. So this is a shout-out to him to let him know, hey, take it easy. Take care of your knee. You'll come back stronger and better for the playoffs, ready for that run to Ford Field. With that being said, that goes to everyone in life, because you're going to have trials and tribulations coming to you. One thing that I've always said, and my pastor, Dorian Hensley, back in Ohio, shared this with me, storms are going to come. Storms are going to come. Regardless, we know they're going to come. The key is, how are you going to respond to them when they come?
Love it.
How are you going to respond to them when they come?
The great James Moore. James, thank you so much. I hope that helps some of our listeners out there. And looking forward to seeing what the outcome is when it comes to tonight's DeWitt and Lansing Everett football game. James, thank you so much, my man.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, we'll talk to you soon, okay?
You got it. Okay. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Friday edition of Current Sports. I got a few games I want to bring up, Connor, especially West Virginia. We haven't, I don't know if we've announced this on the air, but your brother, right, is a kicker for West Virginia. Right, punter. They kick the football, okay? And West Virginia takes on Texas Tech. I think that's an interesting game between number 12 and 25. All right, so we'll dive into that and so much more. We'll come back to put a bow on this Friday edition of the show. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have a little over 5 minutes left here in the show. I tell you what, time flies when you're having fun, and we have been having a ball here throughout the week here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. A few more games I want to bring up. Of course, I do just briefly want to touch on number 14, Michigan, at Northwestern. Right now, when it comes to that line, Michigan right now is they're 15-point favorites. 15-point favorites on the road against the Wildcats. I think Michigan is going to win. I think they'll cover the spread as well in this game. I really like Michigan's defense. Shea Patterson does seem to be improving by the week, but as I stated on yesterday's Current Sports, I think we need like a Remember the Time segment here on Current Sports, Connor, because I remember after the loss that Michigan had to Notre Dame, I said, when you look at Michigan's schedule, they are going to roll. They are going to beat teams these next few weeks. And they don't play a ranked opponent or an opponent with some validity for quite some time. And you're going to hear the Michigan fan base, oh, Michigan is back. Jim Harbaugh, we told you he's the right man for the job. We're going to compete in the Big Ten East. We're going to beat Ohio State. You're going to have this change of perception with the program these last few weeks. And I turned on the Big Ten Network earlier this week, and it was like a love letter from every analyst sitting up there on that panel discussing the Wolverines and where they sit right now in college football. It's fool's gold. Take a breath. Take a pause, Michigan fans. Call me when they've beaten somebody. Because, again, it's going to be another win for Michigan, and you're going to start to hear this conversation ramp up more and more and more. I think Michigan wins in this game, and I think they do cover those 15 points. What do you think in that game, Connor?
I think you hit the nail on the head. They haven't played anyone significant. I mean, I think they'll win this game handily, but they're going into the week after, or 2 weeks, week after, something like that. Their next game after this is Wisconsin.
Right, Wisconsin.
And
yeah.
Wisconsin is a team that they wanted to be in the playoff discussion, and if they want to stay in that discussion, they have to win that game against Michigan. So I think they're going to come in next week in their first real test outside of Notre Dame, and I don't see them winning that game, even though it's in Ann Arbor.
Right. Other games I want to note here, number 4 Ohio State and number 9 Penn State. Again, it's a battle between two top 10 teams, early Big Ten East and playoff ranking implications. This is an important game. I'm curious to see how Trace McSorley, how he performs against this Ohio State defense. Also, other games to look forward to, Stanford and Notre Dame. That's number 7 versus number 8. That will be a night game. Also, Ohio State and Penn State on ABC at 7:30. And then you have on NBC, Stanford and Notre Dame. That's 7:30 on NBC. So two night games there, and also a third night game, number 20 BYU against number 11 Washington. That game will be on Fox at 8:30 p.m. Other big games of note, Syracuse at number three, Clemson, ABC at noon. That's going to be interesting. I think Clemson still wins in that game, but Clemson has not been very convincing this college football season for me, even though they looked good last week. But we'll see what happens in that one. West Virginia and number 25, Texas Tech. Number 12, West Virginia. You have personal ties when it comes to the West Virginia football program because he's not a kicker. Your brother's a punter. I'm sorry, Connor. I didn't know that was like a thing. You can't kicker, punter. I'm sorry. I have to make that differential. What has your brother said about the program?
He likes it so far down there. You know, my other brother who goes there too is, you know, big West Virginia fan. And yeah. After every win, I get a message thing from the brother who not on the football team, but the fan is saying Will Greer is gonna lead him to the playoff and he should get a Heisman trophy and all this. So,
right,
you know, it looks like it looks pretty good. I mean, he's my brother that's on the team. He said that he likes his teammates and good time.
Good. Okay, so he's adjusting well and hoping that. Sometime down the line, hopefully this season, maybe this season, he can maybe get some playing time. So we're rooting for him. So, but yeah, that's a game to look forward to. I think that's going to be competitive. Let's just say that. All right. As we wrap up the show here, I want to remind everybody that, of course, Connor, Alec Rio, and myself, we will be covering tomorrow's Michigan State and Central Michigan football game. Keep it locked to WKAR.org as well as Facebook.com/WKAR News for a post-game report from that, I'm just going to say it right now, Michigan State blowout. All right. And on Sunday, I'll be on Fox 47's Press Pass with Jack Ebling. So going to be a busy weekend for me. Enjoy all of the sports that will be taking place throughout the weekend. And hopefully the United States can dig itself out of this hole against Europe right now, because that was not an ideal start that you want at the Ryder Cup out in Paris. All right. Also, I got one thing for Reflection Friday. Much love to Jack Kerwin, who he paid up on his bet. And I said he didn't have to. Paid up on his bet and got me a chicken dinner that I will be scarfing down in my office later on. Jack, thank you so much. You are the real MVP. Appreciate it, man.
I got you, boss.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you same time, same place on Monday. Until then, be easy, people.